Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-hold-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date on current issues in the NHL, even the controversial ones. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your host, Brad Berube.
It is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode number 111, recording on August 24th, 2020. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, joined alongside my co-host each and every week, Blake Fryers. And you know what, Blake? I hate hockey right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I do.
When your team gets knocked out of the playoffs,
it sucks for the like four or five days after. They lost to what, Thursday night, Friday. Yeah. I didn't want to fucking watch one thing hockey. I didn't want anybody to even mention hockey to me.
Not to be rude or anything, but just the way they lost.
Oh, it was disaster.
That makes it even worse as a fan. I experienced something like that. I think it was 2009. The Canucks were up 4-1. They lost 7-4 to the Blackhawks, and Patrick Kane scored a hat trick. And it's it sucks the soul right out of your body. Playoffs are full of highs and lows. Like Vancouver, huge emotional win over St. Louis, going to the next round. Last night, get humiliated 5-0. Like the highs and lows are just like
24 hours can change your whole perspective.
Dude. Oh, I know.
It's such a reality check. But I don't know. Anytime your team loses out, that first you got to get through the first 4 days, I think, and then you start. Like tonight, last night, I kind of was like, yeah, you know, I'm ready to watch a hockey game, and I did. Yeah. I did last night, so.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, but your Canucks move on to the second round, so you're still living the dream, and we'll see how long that one lasts, but yeah, it's crazy. You know what I thought was really...
It's been good playoffs so far. There's been a lot of good matchups and a lot of entertaining games so far, and the intensity's picking up.
Not a lot of overtimes, though, and none of the series went really deep either, though. You notice that?
Yeah, I mean... The series is that ended quickly it's rightfully so. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about it later, but, I mean, when you look at a series like Boston and Carolina, injuries just caught up to Carolina, and Boston just completely took over that series. But
yeah, they did.
Yeah, it's a couple unfortunate injuries. I mean, I did you expect Washington to go out like the way they did? I didn't.
No.
But, yeah.
But no, I mean, just the lack of game sevens and it was good, entertaining hockey. I'm not complaining by any means.
I think we're gonna start seeing more game sevens though as we go on. I think we're gonna see two. I think we're gonna see two.
I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't think I predicted any. I don't think there's gonna be any in this round. But you know what's crazy? I thought the second round starting the day after the first round ends, and I guess you can do that when you're in the bubble.
But, yeah, there's no travel. There's no none of that.
So, how crazy was that?
The NHL is on a quick schedule. They're on a strict timeline because, I mean, you're up against the clock for next season, right? So,
are we?
Well, I don't know. I think the NHL and the NBA are going to start at the same time because of
how?
What do you mean how?
We're just going to go back to normal, which would be a godsend.
But I mean, like,
are we just going to go back and play in front of fans? Just December 1st?
But I'm saying the two leagues work so much hand in hand. Like, look how many arenas this year.
Okay, but, like, you're not listening to what I'm saying. So is the NBA and the NHL just going back to playing in front of fans like normal in December?
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
I hope so, too. Does that sound realistic to you?
Not at the time, no. Probably not.
Ah, the election will be over. Maybe it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of the heat.
Yeah, it's been super hot here. Like, it was plus 40 Celsius, which is like California weather. Like, are we in Manitoba or are we in California?
It seems like it's just hanging on forever. I love weather when it's like I can put shorts on and a sweatshirt and like be comfy and go out and play golf and not sweat my ass off.
You go wear a sweatshirt, you're coming in, you're roasted like a damn marshmallow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You got lots of golfing?
I haven't lately until now. My team lost. So I went golfing Friday because I figured,
blow some steam off on the golf ball.
Do something, right?
Yeah, I only got out once.
I played like 30 times, I think.
Sounds like my dad.
I played a
you guys,
ton.
You guys are going to the PGA,
during,
it sounds like.
When COVID my first dad hit.
Golfs, my dad golfs 4 or 5 times a week.
When COVID first hit, I played like almost like 3-4 times a week because there was nothing to do, man. I worked and I just went golfing because you couldn't do anything else.
Do you walk or you take a cart?
I walk most of the time.
Okay.
Unless it's blazing hot like the other day, my dad and I played and I took a cart. My dad has a cart because he's 75.
You go to Varden?
I vary. I go between a couple different courses. So.
Varden's pretty expensive, but it's beautiful.
It's so beautiful course. You know, like when you think about the league, and I find it odd that we haven't heard a lot about testing and things like that. So,
I'm not. You don't even know if the guy's fit to play or not.
No, I know, but didn't you think, I thought the NHL, and I'm so glad they didn't, but I thought the NHL would give us like a daily thing, did 806 tests with 0 positives.
No, they gave us what?
A weekly one.
Week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2-0 Colorado, by the way. It's not looking good. Dallas is getting smoked.
Should we get into the show? Let's go. We're going to talk about, we're going to review round one first. And then we're going to dive into round two, and we're going to preview it. We're going to update the games that have been played in round two. And Blake and I did our predictions prior to this. We posted them on Twitter.
Saturday.
So if you don't believe our asses, go look at Saturday. We tweeted them out. So our predictions are up to date. And then we'll go around the league and talk about Reardon getting canned, Tortorella, and a little Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't feel like talking about that, but we're going to because it's
or actually, Alan Walsh.
It's an interesting one. But hey, hockey fans, we are looking for another premier sponsor. Contact me if you're interested. You can tweet me or email me. Go on Inside Edge Hockey News. Our contact information's on there. Sponsors are so important to the success of this show. We don't do this for money. We do it because we love hockey and we love talking about hockey. But sponsors help us afford equipment updates, our hosting, promotions, advertising, and so much more. So get a hold of me, and we'd be happy to discuss this opportunity with you. And thank you to all the sponsors that we do have.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com. NHL news for NHL fans.
All right, Blake, let's talk round one.
Sure.
Start in the East, because, shit, we always start in the East. I don't know. I don't even know why, but we always do. Let's talk Boston, Carolina first, and I don't think it's going to take us long. We kind of wrapped this series up last show, actually. But
yeah.
Boston wins the series 4-1. Carolina, I thought, oh, shit, I picked Carolina. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I had hope for them.
Yeah, we both picked them to go to the conference finals.
I had hope for them coming into this, and boy, they just kind of fell apart on this one. And it seemed like Boston finally got the trainer rolling and got better and better and better. And once they came back, I think it was game 4, wasn't it, that they just exploded and came back?
No, it was game 5. They were down 2-0.
No, it wasn't. It was game 4 because game 5 Boston won 2-1. Game 4.
That's right.
They were down 3-0
in the third.
Yeah, and came back and won 4-3, and that was just a backbreaker and kind of sealed the deal. But Boston seems to be rolling, and they look good already in round 2.
This one thing here. The fact that Boston was able to still remain like good on the power play and up front without David Pastrnak for 2.5 games. Pretty impressive, because you saw that in game 1 against Tampa Bay. That guy drives the bus.
I know, but don't you look at that Boston team, and that's kind of why I look at them, and I kind of look at Vegas the same way. It's just like, where does this team stop? Like,
it's like the thing that's going to stop Boston is the age, because the core is old.
I mean, like, in a game, I'm talking about.
They got a lot of weapons.
It doesn't matter. It's what line goes out. It just seems like they bring something to the table different than the other line that is hard to defend. And man, it just they finally
they come at you in waves.
I know.
I mean, Vegas, Tampa can do that. I mean, Philadelphia's capable of doing that. Vancouver at times shows stretches of that, but I mean, all eight teams are kind of similar in a way.
Boston just does it different though.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that's. I mean, when you pick a team that could win the Stanley Cup, I mean, it's probably the Boston Bruins. I mean, they're just built for playoff hockey. They went to the Cup in 2011, 2013. They went last year, and then they're poised to go here again this year. So, it's a core that's been around for 10 plus years, and it's full of really good hockey players. And it's gonna be interesting to see Halak. He played unbelievable.
I like Halak.
We both talked about it that, I mean, with Rask leaving, they weren't going to miss a beat. The one concern with Boston is if it goes to Game 7 against Tampa Bay, there's two back-to-backs. And Halak's 35 years old.
Ah, boy.
Can he start two back-to-backs?
Hell yeah, he can.
Oh.
Give me a break. Blake, this isn't the freaking NBA, 3-0, dude.
If they go up 3-0, so, we'll get to this
so
in a second.
Let me ask you.
Put that kid in if they're up 3-0.
Oh, my God. Let me ask you a question here. Have you ever heard a hockey player? Now, we're not talking about basketball, Blake, where they need a day off every other day. I'm talking hockey. Have you ever heard a hockey player say, whew, I just can't go tomorrow?
Goalie is
in the playoffs. No, it's not.
It is. Brad. Okay, if it was different, why do goalies rarely ever start back-to-backs in the regular season?
Let's talk about college hockey and junior hockey. They play Friday, Saturday nights all the time.
Oh, that's different.
Why?
Different.
Why?
Different. They play way less games, and they hardly play on weekdays. Come on, dude. This is every other day, plus two back-to-backs in a series. A guy that's almost 36 years old, they might put that kid in net for one game, just to give him a breather.
I doubt it.
We'll have to see. I mean, Kelly Rudy said the same thing. So did Elliot Friedman. So
I don't care. I still doubt it.
We'll see. Wow, Dallas just tied the game 2-2.
Islanders, Capitals.
Yeah.
Islanders win this one 4-1. I think we were both wrong on this one also.
Yep.
And the Islanders, you know, in game 6, they just smothered the Capitals, and the Capitals could get nothing going. And it seemed like about 5 minutes in, I couldn't believe it, about 5 minutes in, it just looked like Washington said, piss on it. We're not going to win. Let's screw it.
Yeah, no, it's typical Barry Trotz style. Very boring style, but it works.
Did you feel like the Caps gave up, though? In the fifth game, I just felt like the Caps.
Just by how much they didn't generate 5-on-5, I mean, most of their damage was on the power play, and that kind of says something. It was a lot like the Toronto Maple Leafs. They just didn't. They didn't bring much 5-on-5 at all in the series, and it was a little concerning because that's a core that's getting old. Ovechkin's almost 34 years old, and Holtby's out the door now. Probably they're not getting any younger. So I mean, this might be an opportunity lost because I mean this core can't stay together forever.
Tampa Bay beats Columbus 4-1 and gets revenge on a sweep last year. And this series was closer to me than a 4-1 outcome. Yeah. I thought that, I mean, Columbus, I mean, every game was a one-goal game except for the game Columbus won. I mean, Columbus fought hard. Like, is there a team with more heart in the NHL than Columbus?
I'm trying to think here.
This team was decimated. We wrote them off, Blake, before the season started.
Yeah, no, I mean, look what they lost. They lost Panarin, they lost Duchesne, they lost Bobrovsky, they lost Ryan Dzingel. Torts, like we said, give him the coach of the year for sure. He definitely deserves it. But I think it was game 5. Columbus was up 3-1, and then they just stopped playing hockey, and the wheels just seemed to fall off the bus. Tampa comes back. They win that game in overtime, and there goes the series. But I love Torts, but I think he owed it to the reporters to at least listen to some questions. Like I don't agree.
Well, so we're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, but going back to that Islanders series, were you surprised how well Semyon Varlamov played?
A little bit. Like, I mean,
he hasn't been very good in the playoffs in his career. Like, his track record.
Well, he hasn't played on any. He hasn't played on one good team in the playoffs either.
Washington?
Wow.
All those years?
Yeah, but he wasn't the man.
He was. He was the man.
Well, then he went to Colorado. I don't know.
And then he went to Colorado. He was the man there, and he didn't play.
But he never went to. They were the worst freaking team in the league. They had 48 points. They were freaking horse shit.
But I'm just saying, like, I was shocked. Like, when I saw 1.67 goals against, I was like, wow. Like, you didn't even notice it until you looked at the stat sheet, right?
But isn't that what you want from your goalie?
Yeah, no, us hockey fans have gotten a treat with great goaltending. Every series has at least one, so it's good.
Philadelphia, Montreal, they treated us to a six-game series, and I thought this was a really good series. It's a 1-8 series, and it was the best one. It was a gritty series. I mean, it was in your face. It was all over the place. I mean,
I'm going to disagree with you.
What?
I thought it was very boring. It was just like
good games.
Every game besides one seemed like a goalie duel. Right?
How do you figure though? It was two to one game.
The rest are one goal games. It's just a goalie duel.
That's because Montreal can't freaking score, dude.
No, I know, but like I feel bad for Carey Price. But hey, I will say this. If I'm a Montreal fan, we talked about this last pod.
I'm looking forward to the future.
I'd be very optimistic because. What Suzuki showed you, what Kotkaniemi showed you, what Carey Price showed you that he can do, what Shea Weber showed you that he can do at age 34, there's room to be optimistic there. It's a team that has $25 million in cap space and has 14 draft picks this year in the draft.
This team doesn't make the playoffs next year.
They're going to add some scoring. They're going to go out and sign a guy like Taylor Hall. They're going to go out and sign a guy like Mike Hoffman.
This team doesn't make the playoffs next year.
I say they will. Bergevin's going to make some changes.
Oh, his track record on changes is freaking lights out good, man.
Well, I mean, the last few have been good.
God.
Hey, remember for PK Subban? That's not a good trade?
Absolutely it was. The one.
The circuit chef for Drouin, not so good.
No, his trades are atrocious with the exception of the Shea Weber trade. It's, you know,
you cut out. I didn't hear a word you said.
I said the trades have been his track record's horrible, with the exception
Suzuki,
of the,
that Suzuki Tatar trade for Pacioretty was pretty damn good, though. You got to admit that
didn't look good initially, did it?
Well, Suzuki was their best player in the playoffs. So.
I know, but it didn't look good initially, did it?
No. Well, I mean, you got to give the kid a chance to come up and play.
How about the Niskanen cross check to the face of Galchenyuk?
No, Gallagher.
Or Gallagher, excuse me.
Yeah, it was very dirty. It was very, very dirty. The fact that if Montreal won Game 6, Niskanen would have been able to return in the series is an absolute joke.
But then Kotkaniemi didn't get anything.
Okay, but that wasn't even that bad a hit, in my opinion. It really wasn't. I mean, what is his name? Sandheim is his name?
He
turned his back. Why do players do that?
Because they can draw the penalty. I think it should be.
It's annoying. And that's why I don't think they suspend him, because he put himself in that position.
But, Blake, I just want you to admit something here. If that's Pettersson getting hit like that, you would have been freaking through the roof.
No, because don't be an idiot and turn into the boards. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid.
We might see Pettersson get hit like that in this series, because this series with Vegas is going to be vicious, and we'll get to see what Blake thinks on that one.
Pettersson's pretty elusive. He doesn't get hit that much unless he gets body slammed in Florida, but we'll not talk about that.
Maybe why I like the Philly Montreal series was because it had some hate in it. And I think,
it did.
I think
did,
we've lost some hate in this playoffs. I do.
Yeah,
but some people argue with me on that, but I feel like we've lost some hate.
Yeah, I mean, the rivalries are kind of dying, Brad. It's kind of sad to see. I mean, we saw the rebirth of a Battle of Alberta again, which was good to see. But, like there's no rivalries anymore. Like, there's not much.
I don't think it's helping that they're all sitting at the same hotel.
Well, Blaine, what do you expect? What do you want them to do?
No, I know. I mean, it's the year of the year. I know. But just rolling on through the Western Conference, let's cruise through this. Colorado, Arizona. Colorado Wins 4-1. Yeah, Arizona fans, I know you love me. You got your ass kicked. Complete domination from Colorado.
You're lucky Darcy Kemper was there to keep it somewhat.
Oh, my God. 7-1.
The guy was unbelievable.
Oh, he's a great goalie. One of the best in the league. And he just crippled by a crappy team in front of him. 7-1.
It's all Chayka's fault, though, for not staying with the team.
Yeah.
If Chayka stays with the team, they'd probably beat Colorado.
None of this happens.
Yeah. They might have been the team of for the upset.
God. Vegas, Chicago. Vegas kind of rolls through this one, overmatches Chicago. 4-1 in this series. The depth of Vegas just steamrolls.
It was a lot closer than I thought, though. Like in that game five, Chicago led three different times.
Yeah,
they had a chance to win that game.
I'll give you that, Blake, because look at the scores. They're 4-1, 4-3, 2-1, 3-1, 4-3. They were good games. They were really close.
And Corey Crawford turned back the clock, and that man was very good. They were down 3-0. Their backs were against the wall, and this guy stopped 49 of 50 shots to give Chicago the win. So Corey Crawford was vintage Corey Crawford in this series after a horrible series against Edmonton. So he's a free agent this year, and it's going to be interesting to see if somebody takes a flyer on him. He's 35.
He's dealt
with concussion problems.
I wouldn't.
It's going to be interesting to see. Somebody might throw him a one-year, $2-3 million deal, so it'll be interesting to see.
Don't you think he's going to want more than that?
It depends. I think he's already won three Stanley Cups.
Well, so I know that's what he's going to say. That's going to be his resume. He's going to be like, dude, you're getting a three-time Stanley Cup winner.
Well, two-time.
Or two-time. Yeah. I mean, like, am I not worth more than that?
Yeah, but at this stage of his career, he's a backup goalie now.
I know, but he's not going to want to be.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he's a starter in Chicago. They don't have anybody else.
Yeah, you're right. But does Chicago, like...
Yeah, they have to pay him. Why are they not bringing him back? What reason would there be?
I would rather have a guy like Braden Holtby.
I know, but you want to pay $7 million. See, that's the thing. And we're going to talk a lot about this in coming episodes. Like, how much do you...
The flat cap is going to affect a lot.
How much are you willing right now to pay for a goalie? Like, seriously.
Six to $7 million.
I would never go over six.
Yeah, like seven max. I give Markstrom seven. That's a farthest.
You might have to give him eight.
No, I don't think so.
Well, it depends on what he asked for, because you have to pay him, right?
Well, if he lets in five goals a game like he did last time, nah, JK, he played good, but
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like in today's day and age, like I don't know.
Well, it's always less term.
So is Robin Lehner going to re-sign in Vegas, and can they afford to give him big dollars? They've already got Fleury for 7-2, is it? Like, how can they afford to add another one?
Well, Lehner's gone. Like, Lehner's not resigning in Vegas.
He wants to. I mean, he's going to finally say, piss on this. I want term now.
No, well, he signed one-year deal.
He's
going to
say, I deserve term. And I want term.
It was very confusing, his exit from the Islanders. Like, I thought that was very confusing.
Not really, though. They just didn't want to pay.
But they paid Varlamov the same contract for 4 years. Like,
I know. We talked about
something happened behind closed doors there. You don't just let a guy walk who's better than Varlamov and give Varlamov term.
I'm with you because we both shook our head when that happened last year. We were both like, that doesn't make sense. No, I don't disagree.
I got a question for you.
Oh, great.
If Lehner stays on Chicago, do they beat Vegas?
No. No, and here's why because I don't know that there's any team in the league that can do what Vegas does. Vegas can play a physical style if they want. They can play a fast style if they want. They can play any style that they want. And I don't know that there's another team in the league that can do that. Boston, maybe. I don't know.
Tampa
can
do that.
Tampa can't get...
Colorado can do that. Colorado can go run and gun with Vegas.
It's going to be a good series.
Hell, Vancouver can even run and gun with Vegas. They can. They played like dog shit yesterday.
We're going to get to that. They're going to be a lot better. Let's put a wrap on the Calgary-Dallas series. Dallas wins that one 4-2. Epic complete collapse by the Flames in game six after going up 3-0. allowing, yeah, seven straight, yeah, 7-3. Did you like my message? Do you like my message? You said to me.
I'm going to take you back memory lane.
No, just let me finish this story first. You message me when it's 3-0, and your message says, this game is over. And I said, no, it's not. There's a lot of hockey left, and I don't feel safe unless it's 6-0. Little did I know the 6-0 wouldn't even have got me the win.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? And I think that what's your coach's name?
Jeff Ward. Worst coaching decision I can remember in history.
Jeff Ward made the worst coaching decision I've ever seen in a Stanley Cup playoffs in my lifetime. And Calgary goes up 3-0. Rick Bowness calls a timeout. I wondered, are they going to pull Hudobin and put this kid in?
No.
The answer is no. They're not going to do that.
How can you do that?
I thought to myself, you can't do that. That would be like throwing in the towel. That shows the team that you're not in it. Okay, Dallas scores 3 in a row, and I'm thinking.
And none of them, way one.
One of them was Talbot's fault, one of them.
But okay. The other ones were not. I mean, how can he stop something that hits 6 skates? I mean, like, holy cow.
So Calgary calls a timeout, and I'm saying to myself.
Well, they did not call a timeout. They never called a timeout.
They pulled the goalie.
Should
have called a timeout. They should have called a timeout. They pulled Dave Riddick.
They pulled Talbot and put in Riddick.
They pulled Talbot, put in Riddick, and right when that happened, I text my buddy who is a Flames fan. I said, you guys are going to lose this hockey game. This is the worst decision I've ever seen. This guy hasn't played in 5 months. You didn't even give him a game against Winnipeg or whatever. Like, this guy, Talbot has been your guy the whole way, and for them to be down 6-3, then put Talbot back in? What are you doing? Why did he get pulled in the first place? It made no sense. And that is why.
Well, you had to put him in when it was 6-3 because Riddick couldn't stop a beach ball. So you had to put him back in because Riddick looked like my beer league goalie after about 12 pack.
It was brutal. It was absolutely horrible. I'm going to take you back down memory lane.
Let me take you down to memory lane of the Canucks too.
2015, first round, game 6.
Who are we playing?
Calgary versus Vancouver.
Oh, we won that series. It's the last series we won.
So do you remember what happened in that hockey game?
No.
Vancouver went up 3-0 in the first period.
Calgary won the game in overtime, didn't
they? Calgary pulled their goalie.
Who was their goalie?
They started Jonas Hiller in that game.
Yeah.
And they put in Kari Ramo.
Okay, and Calgary was up 3-0?
Calgary was down 3-0 in the first period. Okay. They pulled Hiller, put in Kari Ramo.
It's kind of coming back to me.
And Calgary came back at 1-7-4. It's identical.
I kind of do now that you say that. I might have to break.
The highlights. It's identical to what happened. As soon as that happened, instantly I thought of that game.
Lived it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, damn, I have like a PTSD flashback. I'm like, are you serious? That just happened? But
as soon as Riddick went in, you know?
Oh, I said the game's over.
My buddy texts me and he's like, I have no confidence. I said, we're gonna lose this game.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I mean,
did you hear the injuries in Calgary today?
No.
Sam Bennett, torn bicep.
Oh, really?
Was their best player with a torn bicep. That's why he wasn't taking faceoffs.
That's why Lucci took all those draws. That makes sense now.
Torn bicep. So,
do you want to get into Johnny Hockey?
We will, yeah. And Rasmus Anderson, broken foot.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And he was a great player for them. And there was one on Tkachuk's concussion, which we knew about.
Concussion, yeah. I mean, just to see Tkachuk's reactions on the TV.
Did you hear
just
what Johnny Hockey's injury was?
It just, what, a fucking injured pussy?
No heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Heart transplant.
No, heart. It's just like, I don't know, man. This guy is just. There's no other way to put it.
You ought
to
hear. Can I tell you a quick story?
Here's mine. Do you want me to tell you my nickname for him?
Well,
Johnny Useless. You know Johnny Hockey, Johnny Ham and Cheese. His new name for me is Johnny Useless.
Do you want to hear a good story? My buddy and I were talking the other night, not the night that they, this was actually prior to game six, believe it or not. This is after game four. We were chatting and he said to me, he goes, yeah, he goes, I really think we got to move Johnny Hockey. We just can't have him. We just can't have him. And I said, yeah, but what are we going to get in return? And he says, well, no matter what the Flames get in return, the fans aren't going to be happy. I said, well, I'd be happy with a draft pick at this point and a prospect. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, right now, I mean, if he's not going to produce in the postseason, that's when you need players to produce. So we get talking, and he's like, well, but who's going to take him? And I'm like, I don't know, man. And he goes, you can't, like, pretend that, like, he's playing good and have other general managers believe that. I said, well, we only have one thing going for us. If these freaking 9:30 at night starts, maybe we can coerce an old GM that goes to sleep out east and misses the Flames game, and maybe he has bad Wi-Fi and doesn't get to watch the highlights on how bad Johnny Hockey is, and he'll take him in a trade, I mean, because that's the only GM that would want him. It's going to be a bad deal. No. He'll get moved this summer.
So the one thing that's working for the Flames with Johnny Gaudreau is he's on a pretty team-friendly contract. Yeah. He's not making no crazy $8, $9 million. I think he's making $6.3 million, which is a movable contract. You're probably going to get a draft pick and a prospect. I mean, you're not going to get the crazy return for what his production was the last couple of years, but I mean, but
you never know. Treliving's pretty good at trades, though.
We harped on Johnny Gaudreau so much. What about Sean Monahan?
I'm not a fan of Sean Monahan.
This guy didn't do much at all.
What do we want him to do?
Whole first line, okay, did but nothing,
but,
Brad.
But Blake, let me just fill you in on something. We've been saying since day one that Sean Monahan's a number one center. He's never played.
Just listen to me.
Let me finish. Since day one, he's never played as good as a number one center. But because we didn't have anybody else, we just kept saying, no, he's the number one center. We tried to talk ourselves into believing shit that isn't really real. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we keep putting him out there in a position and then wondering why he's not succeeding. Because he's over his head. If you have him in a number two, slot him as a number two center, and you bring in a number one center, what happens then? I don't think Sean Monahan's the problem. Because Sean Monahan's deadly in the slot. He's a very good player, and he's a much, much improved defensive player, and he wins faceoffs too.
But I mean, you need your number one center to produce, and he didn't do that.
He shouldn't be playing number one center.
He's with Johnny Gaudreau, and Johnny Gaudreau.
That doesn't help either.
It factors into it, but I mean, even Lindholm didn't do much.
But when you can't sustain offensive pressure, but you can't rip on Lindholm because Lindholm was the best player in the Winnipeg series.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, but being said, it is a little concerning that that top line did most of their damage on the power play.
Their only damage was on the power play. They didn't hold any offensive zone time 5-on-5.
And if they did, it was the third line with Lucic, Bennett, and Dubé.
Well, no, the Flames, the team did, but it wasn't the first line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's talk to Vancouver, St. Louis. Vancouver wins that series 4-2. Vancouver, that showed resilience in this and pounded it out and won a really, real important game six, because I don't know the Canucks wanted to have that go 7 against the Stanley Cup champs. That'd have been scary.
I talked to my buddy. I said, how are you feeling going into tonight's game? I flat out said, if the Canucks don't win this game, they're going to lose a series. I mean, you can't give the former Cup champs any life. And it was a tale of two series, a series where we saw Vancouver go up 2-0. St. Louis storm back, show that, you know, they had a little bit of pushback, and they won the next two. And then Vancouver, like you said, was resilient, won the game 5 and game 6. So Markstrom with a .930 save percentage. He was brilliant. In that game, I think it was game 5, Canucks are down 3-1, and he made like 4 unbelievable saves to keep it 3-1, to keep the Canucks in the hockey game. I mean, did you see that save where it went off the ref and he came diving back and made that save off Sanford? I mean, that was an unbelievable save, but you got to give Vancouver credit. Travis Green put that line together with Jake Virtanen and Elias Pettersson and Miller, and they scored 3 goals in that second period. So it was a pretty emotional win for a young group to beat a team like that, and it's going to do them wonders for confidence down the road.
All right. I'm joking. I'm giving you shit. I wanted to just leave you hanging on the connection because I know how much you like talking to them.
Little update here. Live update. It was 2-0 Colorado. It is now 4-2 Dallas.
I know. I still think Colorado will win this game.
Wow. Jeez.
We'll have to watch the third period.
That's quite the turnaround.
Let's roll into the
45 seconds left in the second, but
let's roll into the second round of the playoffs, and we'll give our predictions and kind of update where things are standing. Let's talk Boston, Tampa Bay first, a 2-4. Blake, your prediction is Tampa Bay in 7, and I've got Boston in 6, and I'm liking my prediction actually because Sunday Boston did win 3-2, and they do lead the series 1-0, but not so much just because
was it 3-2?
Yeah, but not so much just because wasn't it 3-2? It was 3-2.
I thought it was 3-0.
Maybe it was.
Let's look it up.
Little typo.
I thought Tampa got shut out.
No, it was 3-2.
Oh, it was 3-2. Sorry about that.
See, God, you're starting to question me and make me worry that I was wrong. I plan this stuff, man. I don't just fly from the seat of my pants.
No. But like, it wasn't a 3-2 hockey game.
That's what I'm saying. I feel pretty comfortable my Boston pick because they controlled that game.
Horrible.
Yeah, Boston.
They look horrible.
Definitely controlled that game.
They're going to pick it up. This series is going to go deep. This series is going to go deep. Tampa is going to find their game, and I'm still confident. I'm still confident in my pick in Tampa Bay, and it's two teams that have Stanley Cup aspirations, and we're going to see the best.
I don't have any series in this round going past 6.
I mean. Be interesting.
Philadelphia, New York Islanders, 1-6. The Islanders currently lead this series 1-0 with a 4-0 win just before we went on to record this and a convincing Islanders win.
Oh, yeah.
I have got Philadelphia in 6. You have the Islanders in 6. I don't like my pick already, Blake.
I love my pick. I told myself the way this team played against the Capitals, and I just saw that smother style, and I'm like, boy, they can do this to Philly. I mean, this falls right into their hands because Philadelphia and Washington are very similar, both high-octane offenses, and Barry Trotz is the man. I mean, we're going to touch on Todd Rudin in a little bit, but yeah.
Do you worry a little bit about Philadelphia's experience? I'm not saying Carter Hart. I'm just saying the team.
If I'm a Philadelphia fan, I'm shitting my pants because their best players haven't been their best players.
I know.
Giroux hasn't done anything. Voracek hasn't done anything. Konechny led the team in scoring. Hasn't done anything.
He has to
get Kevin Hayes, $7.4 million. Hasn't done nothing.
Besides
kill penalties.
If they don't get going, they won't win.
Basically, this year's Louis Eriksson. Huh?
If they don't get going, they won't win. It's the same as
Calgary's. No, they're not. If they play like the way they did today, they're going to get swept.
That's a bold
statement. I'm very confident in saying that. If they play the way they did today, I counted maybe 9 grade A scoring chances. That's it. All game. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, there wasn't a good outing for them. Let's roll on to the Colorado-Dallas series over in the Western Conference. And me and you, we were talking the shit on this one, and we both picked Colorado in 5. I would like to amend my pick.
Can I change my pick? I might take Dallas in 7 or 6.
We have to be honest, I guess.
No, I know. But, Matt, if Dallas takes a commanding 2-0 lead in this, ooh.
Right now, on Saturday night, Dallas won 5-3 in a wild, wild hockey game.
Yeah.
And then tonight, as we record, it's the end of the second period right now, and Dallas is up 4-2, win being down 2-0. Boy, I don't know. Dallas has scored 9 goals in 5 periods, and this team didn't score 9 goals in 2 months during the regular season. So I know.
So it's losing Philip Grubauer is gonna hurt the Avalanche. And Pavel Francouz is a guy who only had 23 games of NHL experience, no games. All right, he started 1 game in the Arizona series, and he took the loss in that series. That was Arizona's only win in that series. I'd be concerned if I was the Avalanche fan right now. I picked him to go to the Stanley Cup final. I think I picked him to win the Stanley Cup.
I did too.
Against Tampa Bay. And unfortunately, injuries happen. But it looked bad. It looked like a pulled groin. He wasn't putting any weight on that right leg.
No. We'll see.
I don't know. This series is going to have so many.
Think about this, Blake. What we just said at the beginning of the show during the intro, like what 24 hours can change.
I know. I mean, as an Avalanche fan, 2 days ago, you're saying, oh, look, we got Dallas Stars, and now after tonight.
Oh, Calgary said that, too.
Oh, shit. We're down 0-2? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Dallas Stars team might be the shocker of the year. The 1-5 series, Vancouver, Vegas. Vegas is the number one, Vancouver the number five. Blake, one game into this, a 5-0 Vegas win. Vegas leads the series 1-0. Blake, you predicted Vancouver in 7, and yeah. I predicted Vegas in 6.
Yeah, you definitely saw a very tired team against a well-rested team in the first game. I'm still saying this, you could tell. Vancouver just didn't have it. I'm not making any excuses. They're going to be a lot better tomorrow night. I will guarantee you that. And I'm going to guarantee a Canucks win tomorrow night.
Oh, my God.
I think they're going to come back. And they've been a resilient group all year long. And
the curse.
Listen, why don't you
guarantee a shutout, too, while you're
Hold on. The producers of Hockey Night in Canada are an absolute joke. How much camera time Ryan Reeves got yesterday made him sound like he was better than McDavid. This guy was on an ISO camera all game. Are you serious? This guy is a lunatic.
But you know what?
It doesn't matter.
Baited into him, though. Why? Why did the Canucks do that last night?
I don't know why they did that, and they have to stop doing that if they want to be effective, because Ryan Reeves is not a good hockey player. He's irrelevant. Vancouver, when Ryan Reeves is on the ice, they outshot him 14-5. They want Ryan Reeves on the ice. Trust me, they do.
They got to quit being an idiot when he's on the ice, and why are they following his ass around? What Roussel was doing last night was stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. What was he doing?
Why didn't his coach grab him and be like, would you knock it off? What are you doing?
I don't know, but I saw a tweet. It's like, the Canucks aren't worried about Ryan Reeves. They're worried about Mark Stone, Pacioretty, Marchessault, Riley Smith. I mean, no, it's no secret. Vancouver is an underdog in the series. And that's probably an understatement, to be honest. I mean, they're a heavy underdog, but. I feel like this group, like I said, has been resilient all year long. I think they can still make this a series. Markstrom, I mean, a couple goals that maybe he should have, but there's a couple that he had no chance on. And honestly, I would have pulled him out for the second period and gave Demko a full period. They left him in there and let him get that fifth goal, but.
Is Alex Tuck that fast or Vancouver that slow?
Well, did you watch the whole play though?
I saw Alex Tuck blow through them it was freaking charge booster on Blades of Steel.
Vancouver had a sustained shift in the Vegas zone, and I think it was William Karlsson changed for Alex Tuck, and he just had fresh legs. I mean, all those Canucks players are just caught flat-footed after a long shift.
They didn't even haul him down, though.
No, I mean.
They just went, holy shit. Have a nice trip.
The fact that Minnesota
let him go,
gave that guy up for absolutely nothing, what a joke. This guy is just unbelievable. He's huge. He's 6'4", skates like the wind, and he's got an unbelievable release. But Vancouver's not going to roll over. Vegas is a good team, but I still think they can make this a series.
It'll be interesting. Let's go around the league and talk a little bit of NHL news. John Tortorella, I thought did a masterful job, but now there's reports out of Columbus that people aren't happy with him and they don't want him as their coach any longer.
And who said this?
It's
the fans?
Media and fans, yes. It's no one in the organization.
And I'll tell you what, John Tortorella doesn't give a shit what the fans think of him.
He doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks of him.
I mean, you saw what he did to the reporters. I mean, he basically put up the middle finger and said, F you, I'm not answering your questions. I mean, he's always been like that. A little bit arrogant. I thought he owed it to the media to answer their questions after a series. I understand after a game, like after the fifth overtime loss, I understand you're frustrated you don't want to answer the questions, but – I mean, when you get asked, like, what's it like in the bubble? I mean, you kind of owe it to the people after the series.
I'm with you.
I thought that was a little bit unprofessional what he did there, but I'm not sure.
I'm with you on that. Mike Milbury.
Do we even have to talk about this?
We're not going to talk about it long.
This guy is a joke. He's always been a joke. He's a moron. And he's got to understand that this is 2020. And
you can't say anything?
And you can't say stuff like that. I mean, was it harmless what he said? Probably not. But did he have to say it on air? Absolutely not. It was uncalled for. I didn't think the comment was harmless, but I can see it both ways as being
offensive. Wait a minute. What did you just say? You said you saw the comment as harmless or not as harmless?
I said I saw the comment not as harmless, but
what?
I mean,
say that again, Blake. What language are you speaking? It's either harmless comment or not harmless.
I said not harmless.
So that would mean it's derogatory. You can't be not harmless.
Oh no, well I mean like
it's either harmless. Is it a harmless comment?
My vocab isn't very good, but
not a big deal.
Like I don't think it was that big of a deal. But
okay,
that's
a harmless comment then.
Harmless comment, yeah. But I can also see the other side on how that can be offensive. Like I see both sides on the fence. Like he is in
I'll give my take when you're done.
He's in a position where he has a platform, and he just shouldn't be saying stuff like that.
I'm not a Mike Milbury fan. I never have been. I never will be. But, come on, people. We have got to quit being so oversensitive. I'm not a Milbury fan, but I don't think he meant any harm by it. Like, people... When are we as a society gonna quit being such a bunch of fucking pussies? When? Like, I'm serious. Like, I don't understand. We have got to be a little bit thicker skinned people than we are. We cannot live life and be so sensitive. Okay, now that's not condoning his comments either, because I think Milbury said, but the thing is, Milbury said dumber things than that. A lot dumber.
Stayed on air.
Yeah.
But I mean, like,
but I'm like, oh my gosh, so people, like, come on, like, really? Like, really? Like, I don't know. I just think we got bigger fish to fry in this world. We got bigger problems, man. Let's talk about the firing of head coach Todd Reirden. Are you surprised?
I'm not.
I'm not either.
This is the team that 2 years ago won the Stanley Cup, and after that season they fired Barry Trotz.
They didn't fire Barry Trotz. They just turned.
They let him walk. They didn't fire him. Pardon me. But they brought in Todd Reirden, and they handed the keys over to this guy and basically had the same core as when they won the Stanley Cup, and they just underachieved. And when you don't get success in the playoffs, it's going to fall on the head coach, and he got the axe.
I don't think it's how they lost. I think it's that they both went out first round 2 years in a row.
Definitely.
So Mark Fleury's agent, Alan Walsh, who is, oh my God. If you guys think Mike Milbury is a douchebag, then this guy here takes the cake. He sends out a tweet. Was it Saturday, Blake? Was it Saturday? Day before the...
Are you talking about Milbury?
No, I'm talking about Alan Walsh's tweet.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Saturday.
Sorry. Saturday.
So he sends out a tweet Saturday, and I'll put it in the article for the podcast on Inside Edge.
He got the picture. He deleted it.
I've got it.
Okay. Everybody takes a screenshot nowadays.
I've got it. But he's got a sword going through the back of Marc-Andre Fleury, which to me is the most unacceptable, unprofessional thing ever.
Did you see what Brian Burke did?
I have not. No, I'm going to watch it tonight.
He pulled out a dictionary. He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain a word to you, untimely. And then he put the definition of untimely on there. And he says, I don't pull this out very often, but I'm going to tell you a word in this dictionary. And he was funny about it. But, untimely.
I'm going to ask you, I want to ask you a couple questions about this, okay?
Yep.
Do you think Marc-Andre Fleury knew that tweet was coming out?
Oh, 100% he did. 1,000% he did.
See, I don't think he did. I don't.
I think he did because he didn't admit to not knowing it. He didn't, like they asked him about that in the media, he didn't admit fully that he wasn't aware of it.
If he knew that it was coming out and I was his teammates, I'd tell Fleury, you're done. Go sit in the stall by yourself over there. I want nothing to do with you. Yeah, this is the day before a critical series, and you've got a bozo agent doing this. You go sit over there by yourself. We don't need you. Matter of fact, you know what? Don't even dress up.
Yeah, no, it's
trying to win a Stanley Cup here.
Fleury said that, you know, he wants to win, and, you know, he said all the right things, and he said what people wanted to hear, but we're never going to fully know if Fleury knew about that, but the fact that he didn't admit to not knowing about it is a little bit suspicious because
if I was Marc-Andre Fleury,
Alan Walsh has had a history of doing this.
Oh yeah, he's an idiot. He's a habitual idiot.
He bashed Carey Price when Halak wasn't playing in the 2010 playoffs.
He did it with Frolik in Calgary, and Calgary freaking traded him in the next 2 weeks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's had a reputation of doing stupid shit.
So all you hockey fans out there, Alan Walsh is that classless of a person. I'm going to read off a list of his key players so that if they're one of your favorite players, you can quit liking them right now. Marc-Andre Fleury, Pacioretty, Halak, Jonathan Huberdeau, Drouin, big shocker, Frolik, Perron, I know you don't like him after the last series. Fasca.
I hate that guy.
And Pollock.
Not much. He's
because hockey players are more classless and they don't like guys like Alan Walsh.
No.
But as soon as I saw that, Blake, didn't you just think, oh my God, I have seen it all now?
Okay, I'll tell you what went through my head. I knew Alan Walsh was an agent. I wasn't piecing the puzzle together fully. I'm like, why is this picture getting posted? And I saw DeBoer's letters on there. I'm like, okay, that's the coach. He's getting stabbed in the back. And then it clicked. I was like, that's Flower's agent. And I'm like, wow. And right when I saw Elliot Friedman's response, he just put,
wow.
Wow. Wow. I'm like, okay, this is a big deal. Like, if Elliot Friedman's tweeting shit like that, this is a big deal. And credit Robin Lehner for the way that he responded in game one. He didn't let that distract him. And
do you think Robin Lehner cares? I don't.
I don't think he cares.
I think Robin Lehner's just like, I'm winning this game, man.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe this stunt by Fleury's agent cost Fleury his job next year. Maybe he gets traded. Maybe they re-sign Robin Lehner to an extension. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You ready for three questions, Blake?
Yeah.
Inside Edge Hockey News, Faking the Slapper and Going Top Shelf. It's time for three questions.
Question number one, in the middle of March, when we were in the heart of the coronavirus, if I would have told you, if I would have told you that in August we'd be cruising through the Stanley Cup playoffs and we've had zero positive tests, what would you have said?
I would have probably called you crazy. Yeah. I didn't think the bubble would be this effective, and it showed that it's working in the NBA. It's working in the NHL. And something like this is possible for a playoff format, which is why I think the MLB is going to go this route too. They're going to look at this. They're going to say, this is working. It's under control. It's controllable right now. As long as you have the right protocols in place, anything's possible.
Yeah. You know, another thing too, like just some NFL news today, they had 77 positive tests that they found out a day later that weren't actually positive. They were negative.
Yeah, they're false negatives.
Yep.
Yeah. But you want false positives.
You want to know something funny?
What's up?
Those 77 don't get subtracted either. They don't. Question number two. How critical is the injury to Grubauer to the success of the Colorado Avalanche?
Oh, it's major.
See, I don't think it is.
I talked about this before. We're watching this right now. Three of the four goals that this Francois let in today were soft, like really, really soft. And there's a lot of pressure on this kid. This kid has never played a playoff game. Grubauer, he's at least had some playoff experience. Like people forget, Brad. In 2018, when Washington won the Stanley Cup, Grubauer started the first two games against Columbus. Like he was their guy over Braden Holtby. And unfortunately they lost in overtime in game two and they put Holtby in, and obviously the rest is history. They won the Stanley Cup, obviously, but this guy, he's played in the playoffs before, and this guy isn't coming back anytime soon. It looked like a pulled groin, and he's probably out for the season.
Yeah, it'll be tough to tell, but yeah.
I'd be very concerned.
I would be surprised if he came back, but I don't know.
There's no way. He wasn't putting any weight on that groin, and as a goalie myself, I knew right away that's a pulled groin.
Yeah.
It was so clear cut evidence that was a pulled groin.
Question number three. Who should be on the cover of NHL 21?
Well, certainly not Ovechkin. EA Sports has had a history of putting players on the cover that's been on there before. Ovechkin was on there in 2007, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Why is he on there in 21? Taze and Kane were on their back-to-back years. Like, Crosby's never on the cover. What about McKinnon? Or what about Pierre-Luc Dubois or somebody? Somebody that's maybe not known as much to maybe get their name out there and market them a little bit. Like, everybody knows who Ovechkin is. Like, why is this guy on the cover? Like, he doesn't need to be on the cover.
I think Dubois would be a great choice, but they'll never pick it because he's in Columbus.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
maybe you put an Alexander Barkov on there.
Yeah, hey.
Oh, I was going to say something bad about Arizona again, but I better not.
Maybe. Oh, why are they going to put him in a... Put him in...
Oliver Ekman-Larsson, but he's going to get traded.
Yeah. No, he won't get traded.
I know. I don't think
he's going to get traded to the Quebec Nordiques, maybe, but...
All right, time for our listener question from Kent Hagen, Duluth, Minnesota. What do you think the major reason that six of the eight round-robin teams advanced in the first round?
They just played better. I mean, they wanted more. I don't know how to put a finger on that. Like,
every team
is in the same boat, so there's really no excuses on why a team wins and loses.
Other than injuries, maybe. Here's what I put. They played one last round. That would be number one. They played meaningless games versus meaningful games, which could work in the negative too, I guess.
I mean, look at St. Louis, though.
But you know what the number one reason is? Those teams were round robin teams for a reason, because they were regular season powerhouses, and they're deeper, better hockey teams, and that's why six of the eight moved on. That's my opinion.
Definitely, and the two that lost, I mean, can I get your thoughts on Game Six of Vancouver and St. Louis for 1 second, and then we'll wrap up the podcast.
Okay.
Why on earth did the Blues go back to Binnington?
Oh, that was right up there with the Jeff Ward thing. I thought that was a horrible coaching decision.
Like, I understand.
I thought Allen was doing good. I did.
Allen was doing fine. I understand that Binnington had a track record last year, and he won the Blues the Stanley Cup. But when Jordan Binnington is 0-4 with a 4.5, pushing 5 goals against average in this bubble with a save percentage of .860, no way in hell I'm starting him in an elimination game. That guy is fluky, or not fluky, shaky as shit. And Vancouver just blew the doors off him.
I was
that's a decision that, like, if Craig Berube was still an interim head coach, Jeff Ward's probably getting fired for what he did.
I'll bet you Jeff Ward gets the interim tag taken off.
You think?
Yeah. You want to know why? You want to know why I'm right on that? Because Calgary doesn't like to pay a lot of money for coaches. Never have, never will. And Jeff Ward's a cheap alternative. Or if they went and got a Gallant, it's too expensive.
I do like Gallant.
I love Gallant.
Or sorry, I like Jeff Ward, but that a decision like that, it's just like it'll haunt you.
It'll haunt. Yeah. No,
It's gonna haunt that Flames team for quite some time.
Yeah,
and like a loss like that is demoralizing. It's just so demoralizing, and especially when a team like Calgary's had a track record of not having too much success in the playoffs, you go out like that. It's like you almost get to the playoffs and you're like, wow, what's gonna happen this year? You as a fan, you're probably gonna think, wow, what crazy shit's gonna happen this year? Like, how are we gonna lose this year? I mean, it's demoralizing, man.
Well, just remember, everybody, and you tweet at Friars_Blake tomorrow night. Yeah, yeah. Blake picks a guarantee for the Canucks.
Yeah.
Make sure you tweet him tomorrow night. Again, thanks for listening to the Debate Hockey Podcast. We are back again next week. Blake and I are back to talk hockey. We'll be in the heart of round two, and I'm sure round two will not disappoint. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast. Do us a favor, get on over to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. We love talking hockey, and we thank each and every one of you for listening each week. See you next week, hockey fans. Get connected. The Debate Hockey Podcast can be found on Twitter @DebateHockey. Also, make sure you check us out on our Facebook page, The Debate Hockey Podcast. Brad Brood can be found on Twitter @BradBrood, and co-host Blake Friars can also be found on Twitter @Friars_Blake. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcast. The Debate Hockey Podcast can be found on all major podcast players, and please consider subscribing to the Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey action.
Kevin Bieksa had come up and had a word with Westgarth a moment ago. And now Bieksa is going to face off against Westgarth. So the defenseman moves up for the Canucks.
Tortorella at the Vancouver bench is already looking at the
Calgary
bench.
And here we go. Line ball to start this game.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your host, Brad Berube. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com and on Twitter @InsideEdgeHockey and Facebook @InsideEdgeHockeyNews. We'll catch you next time.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.